This is an I Am Listening podcast.
What is he expecting us to give him a pat on the back or something? I mean, this kind of feeds into the narrative that we should be kind of thanking them for doing all this work for us to provide water. It's their job.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast. I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, with your weekly roundup of what's been going on in the county. The Green Party pulled off a massive victory in the hotly contested by-election for the Kent County Council seat of Cliftonville in Margate. Rob Yates saw off Reform UK's Mark Rattigan by 301 votes in a contest cast as more akin to a parliamentary by-election than one in farthest-flung divisions in Kent. Councillor Yates was clear on why he'd won.
KCC's been run by Reform for a year and they've done a terrible job. Residents aren't stupid. They know and feel that something's wrong there. And so that's been a big turn-off. But secondly, residents want empathy, they want hope, they want compassion in their politics rather than politics of division. So I think the Green Party, locally, the community has rallied round and showed that actually we are a strong, cohesive community and we want unity, we want empathy, we want compassion in our politics. And that's what's really worked in Cliftonville, is showing we're better than this politics of division that other parties push.
Is this really a case of deep felt love for the Green Party? Obviously, there's the argument that this was a stop the Reform Party vote by any means necessary. It says that your party was lucky enough to be the ones that became the vehicle for this voting coalition, as it were.
Yeah.
Is this going to be reflective in the future?
I think that's one angle, but it's not an accurate angle. I think what we've shown locally is that residents can only believe in politics if you get results. So what we've had in Cliftonville is we've had a campaign where individuals are involved against Southern Water for sewage dumping. I was really happy and proud to have got a zebra crossing built after working for 2 and a bit years with Kent County Council. And things like that are things that can be believed in. So we had local residents who every day they drive by Hartsdown Zebra Crossing. When Zach Polanski came to Margate, I asked him to mention Hartsdown Zebra Crossing because this is something tangible, a real action that I did without being a Kent County Councillor. And now that I'm in Kent County Council, I want to do more things and show more results, because only by showing positive results can you get people to believe in that hope that the Green Party are out there talking about every day. And we can get those results.
As a reminder, the seat became free when the man who won it last May, Reform UK councillor Daniel Taylor, was jailed for controlling behaviour towards his wife. Councillor Yates secured 40% of the vote, and incidentally, the Greens polled just 12% back then, so that made the result all the more remarkable. The Green polled nearly 39%, with Reform's Mark Rattigan nearly 6% behind in second spot. The seat, which does not change the arithmetic of Reform's KCC majority one iota, evolved over the course of a two-month campaign into a straight Reform versus Green race. This was a must-hold seat for Reform in an area where it is dominant, and it's a bad look to have lost it. The body language of the Reform activists in the sports hall in Broadstairs, where the count took place, was rather telling from the off. Local Democracy reporter Simon Finlay has been looking at the figures and says there is sure to have been a fair amount of tactical voting, casting votes to particular parties to keep the other one out. And one suspects that most of the tactical voting was in favour of the Greens. He says there is evidence of Reform voters going green, apparently. The Labour vote appeared to collapse by about 10% to just over 10.5%, and that would be partly to do with the national picture, but because of tactical voting too. So while the party came second last year, it did not augur well for Sir Keir Starmer in May. The Tories got 15% of the vote, dropping around 5%, and there may have been an element of tactical voting. None of the campaigners were particularly chuffed, and it does not indicate any sort of a revival in leader Kemi Badenoch's fortunes. Fellow Green County Councillor Stuart Jeffrey told us why he thinks the party is doing so well.
It's great that we've been able to bring somebody passionate about the area to represent Cliftonville. And of course, it is a real blow for Reform. This is their flagship county. Cliftonville should have been their heartland, and this was the first test of their of their reign at Kent County Council, and they have failed.
Rob Yates said in his victory interview afterwards, it's now the Greens versus Reform going forward, because obviously you beat Labour and the Conservatives into third and fourth. Is that how you see it now?
Absolutely. You can see from the Gorton and Denton by-election last month, it was Green versus Reform. We're seeing this over and over around the country. And so politics has shifted quite seismically. And we are going to see these kinds of fights playing out. And you will have seen from the national polls, Reform tend to be ahead. We're in second place. In one poll, we were in first place, I think, last weekend. You know, this is the world has moved to Green or Reform now.
Is that down to how people are just thinking differently, or has Zach Polanski had, what they say about the Polanski impact? I mean, has he had a big impact on the party?
Yes, Zach has definitely had a massive impact. I think also it's not just Zach, but he is the biggest catalyst for the rise. We do know that the world is changing quite significantly. The cost of living is really biting. Climate change is biting. All the things we've been campaigning upon have been coming forward. And Labour, for example, have completely failed to address those issues for people in this country. The Greens have got the solutions, we've got the passion, and we're doing what we can to make life easier for people. And people are starting to see that.
All eyes are now on 2027, when it is expected the next set of elections will be held to vote in the shadow administration ahead of local government reorganisation. You can be assured that with considerably more seats to contest, a more realistic landscape for all the parties will emerge. Listeners are probably more than familiar with the school street scheme, as it's often a topic discussed in Medway. Well, it's back once again, and again the signage is being cited as a problem. Michelle Oliver is a mobile hairdresser from Strood, and she was visiting a client in Stirler Road, Chatham, when she drove into Glencoe Road, a school street near Phoenix Primary School. The regulations ban most vehicles from designated streets at the start and end of the school day, but Michelle says she had no idea she was breaking them when she drove down Glencoe Road because of how the sign is positioned. She was driving on Magpie Hall Road and made a right-hand turn into Glencoe, but she says the direction of the sign faces means it was in profile as she approached it, and the face of it, which has all the information on it, wasn't visible. She appealed first to Medway Council and then to an independent adjudicator, but both rejected the appeal. She believes the cameras, which catch those who break the rules, show the signs much more clearly than they actually appear to motorists, and she says other people feel the same way. This isn't the first time signage has been raised as an issue for the school street scheme, but Medway Council says it monitors the signs at each location and is confident that what is in place is suitable. Last month, a report was discussed by the council regarding the first year of the School Streets initiative, and it found that parents of children at the first seven schools which signed up to the scheme found the streets to be calmer and safer. However, members of the Conservative opposition have called for a more in-depth review. A Freedom of Information request made by Kent Online found that between March 2024 and December last year, just under 29,000 fines have been issued related to the School Street scheme.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Next week, Canterbury City Council's Cabinet is set to vote on the adoption of its official cultural strategy for the district. This document is essentially a framework or guideline intended to inform the authority's decisions on and interactions with the arts, cultural sector, museums and that sort of thing. The document is, of course, filled with public sector jargon about unlocking culture's power to boost well-being and positioning creativity as a driver of regeneration, innovation and inclusive economic growth. But it does include some concrete measures, such as commissioning artists to create public murals, refreshing billboards and panels, reopening the long-shut Sidney Cooper Gallery in Canterbury, and renovating buildings such as the Poor Priest's Hospital in Canterbury and the King's Hall in Herne Bay. Some in the coastal towns are not thrilled by the plan, though, with representatives of the Whitstable Community Museum and Gallery writing into Canterbury City Council to accuse them of ignoring the contribution of volunteers to the cultural sector, particularly in the coastal towns. Peter Banbury of the museum told us this week that he feels the authority focuses too much on the historic cathedral city and that proportionate council funding should be considered for the volunteer-run local museums in Whitstable and Herne Bay. He argued that those sort of places used to be council-run anyway and that with them now dependent on volunteers, Canterbury Council should look at giving them support with marketing and promotion to draw in visitors who might otherwise miss them. Kent's water problems were back in the headlines this week when South East Water boss David Hinton announced that he will not be accepting his bonus after 24,000 properties were left without supply. His announcement came on Tuesday, just after he'd faced another grilling from the Environment, Food and Rural Affairs Select Committee over the issues at the Pembury Water Treatment Works site that led to the outage for thousands of people living in Tunbridge Wells in January. Mr. Hinton had been in line for a £115,000 bonus. That's on top of his £400,000 a year salary. But this week said he had decided not to accept it and went on to apologise to customers and map out plans to improve things. Perhaps unsurprisingly, Tunbridge Wells MP Mike Martin wasn't impressed. Here's what he had to say.
I think the thing that struck me was that despite personally managing the incident in December when 60,000 of my constituents were left without water, drinking water for 2 weeks, by January, a month later, he still didn't have a clear picture of what had caused that incident. And the drinking water inspectorate, the regulator, had to explain to him what it was that had happened in that incident. And that is just absolutely jaw-dropping.
He also mentioned the other outages that we had at the start of the year caused by broken pipes and things like that. What did you think about his answers to those questions in particular?
Yeah, it's not just this long outage in January we've had. We've actually had repeated outages throughout February and March, even a couple of weeks ago in my constituency of 5,000 houses here, 2,000 houses there. I think the pattern that we see from South East Water is the firm exhibits groupthink. And this means that they can't adequately understand the problems that they face, the risks, how to invest properly. And it also means they tend to blame other people when things go wrong. And they think that the fact that they're unable to fulfill their primary duty, which is what they said today, we've failed to deliver water, which is our primary duty. But they always think that there's another reason, it's someone else's fault. And actually, the Drinking Water Inspectorate, which is their main regulator, said that it was completely their fault. These incidents in December and January were foreseeable and preventable if only the company had done the proper maintenance and done the proper checks on the raw water that they were told to do by the Drinking Water Inspectorate. So it's really a failure of leadership at South East Water.
You've regularly called for David Hinton to resign. Are you quite surprised he is still taking these questions from MPs, that he is still in that job? I mean, the board today said that he still has their backing.
The chair of the board today saying that the board still backs Dave Hinton tells me that the board of South East Water is not doing its job properly. Dave Hinton today quipped that South East Water is a great company, but it just has a big interruptions problem. And I think to make a joke like that, just so tone deaf when we've had vulnerable people not able to get water, we've had schools closed, we've had thousands of children's education disrupted, I just think beggars belief. So not only is he incompetent and can't run a water company, can't manage the crisis, can't communicate, he thinks there's a bit of a joke as well. It's just beyond belief.
He issued a statement shortly after the end of the session today and said he's not going to receive a bonus, or he won't accept his bonus this year. What did you make of that?
What is he expecting us to give him a pat on the back or something? I mean, this kind of feeds into the narrative that we should be kind of thanking them for doing all this work for us to provide water. It's their job. Right? If people expect the money to leave their account by direct debit and the water to arrive, you shouldn't have to think about your water. It's the United Kingdom. It's 2026. And the fact that he's issuing that statement about not taking a bonus as if he expects us all to kind of pat him on the back and go, what a good bloke you are. He's a failed leader. He's running a failing company. And all of them are refusing to take responsibility for catastrophic failures of leadership and management, which has meant that 60,000 people have suffered from a lack of water and schools and GPs are being closed. It is ridiculous.
That's it for this week. In the meantime, you can keep up to date with politics in Kent at Kent Online. You can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.